You know, I want us to pray right now. But I really want you to connect. I want you to connect with that word believe. And I want you to set aside everything you came in here with and connect. It's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to dig deep into your heart. The music, the words, the presence has opened your heart up like nothing else. Connect. Father God, believe is such a powerful word, and yet so often taken for granted. I pray this morning, Father, that you have already taken the words of music. I pray, Father, that you'll take the words that I'm to share, that they won't be mine. And I pray, Father, that you would reach deep into our hearts. We know there are families grieving right now. We pray for Dawn and Sandy and the Sulphur family. We pray for Melissa Richards and her family. We pray for Mary Molenkamp and her family. We believe in the resurrection. Father, allow us as we look to your word, give the power your Holy Spirit needs to dig into our hearts, to discover what it is that only he knows and the reason that we are here this morning, which is not by mistake. Help us to allow you to dig, to pick away, so that believe becomes real and something we do. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your belief in us and that you sent your son. And we ask in his name we pray. Amen.
I'll be fine.
Have fun.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Well, okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
No snowplows.
Keep it straight and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Same thing you do on the 20.
Straight. Do you go faster on the in run?
Little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Is it any steeper, do you think? Not
same,
much.
Same steepness, it's just longer.
Well, just longer. Just longer. Just a bigger 20, that's all.
Yep. Have
it's
fun.
A bigger 20.
Go ahead. You got
this. I got it.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Suspense at the top at the first time freaks you out. That's the only thing. It's so fun. seems like nothing now. Woo!
Oh, I love that video, and you know, I'm going to tell you, some of you are sitting here thinking, didn't we see that before? Yes, you did. About a year and a half ago, you saw it. For those of you that remember, that's awesome, but I guarantee you probably don't remember the sermon, but that is so, so awesome to me. She's standing up there, and I just can't get over this deathly pause, and then go. And you think about our series on the book of John on believe. That's exactly the context of the word believe. We're on the mountain. We know what we need to do. We're in the proper equipment. We're surrounded by the proper people. We have our little best friend telling us that the longer you wait, the harder it gets. We hear all that, we know all that, but bottom line, to believe, go. Start. If you're joining us this morning for the first time, we're in a series of Book of John on the word believe. And we have focused on a theme verse. And that theme verse is something that we have described that we are going to memorize and that we are going to know and that we're going to understand. That theme verse is this, and I want you to say it with me, collectively, together, all right? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life. Life. The last screen there talked about life abundantly, living life abundantly. And that is the reality of that situation. And I just love the fact that when that girl says go, she literally goes and there's no hesitation. Now, on the back of your bulletin, on the notes page, I've got something that you're not used to. I've got a little bit of an outline. We're going to fill in some things here because I realize that I go fast, and I realize that I put things up there and you can't put them down. But I want you to understand, because this is a core element to our entire study of the book of John. On the back of the bulletin, you'll see we have made this very clear, that when we've talked about that word believe, it is found 98 times in the book of John. And every single time, it is the verb. The verb, do you believe? And every single time, it is the idea of believing into. That we believe by action, it's not just possess, but doing. It is the verb action, not just possess. It's not just having my faith. It is knowing, living, doing my faith. That's the reality. It's the idea of practice. It's the idea of putting into action. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2:12, he says to us that you might work out your salvation in fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to his good pleasure and will. You see, there's a reciprocating response in the Christian life today. God works in, we work out. It is the action of doing, and that's what John is describing when he talks about the word believe. Someone once said that, I don't know who said it, I tried to find, someone once said in the Christian life, you choose courage or you choose comfort. Pretty simple, isn't it? We either choose courage or we choose comfort. It's those two aspects that we have. And John tells us that you're either living or you're just existing. That girl on the top of the mountain was existing. At the bottom of the mountain, she was what? Living. There's a huge difference. And that's what John seeks to give to us. That believe is a verb. And last week we saw in John 3:21, a passage of scripture that gives to us this flow. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done through God. And so we talked about the idea that if you live by the truth, that's the action of belief. That's on your notes page. Live by the truth, action of belief. You got to understand the sequence. If you don't get this sequence, you will not understand the unfolding study of the book of John. The second idea is into the light. That's the results of believing. So I'm going to live by the truth. I have the results. I'm going to come into the light. And then the reality of the power of God comes into play. It's done through God. It's not done through me. It's done through Christ in me. It's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. And that power of belief and that strength of belief we talked about comes from three things. And in the idea of believing, when we look at where it comes from, and the core source of belief talks about the first thing is that the ability and the authority of the person asking you to believe. And we're going to look at that more this morning. The ability and the authority of the person asking you to believe. Now, I love that coach on that video. Not once did he tell her to do what? Go. He never told her, go. He gave her information. Well, is it steeper? No, it's the same steepness, but it's a little bit longer. He gave her good information, but he never once said, go. He didn't say, you better go. Now, her friend did, but that's a little kid. He didn't know any difference. The coach didn't say that. The coach didn't start criticizing her. The coach didn't say, hey, you got about 8 or 9 of your peers down the bottom of the mountain. They went down it. How come you can't go down? Why can't you be like Bob? Bob's 4 inches shorter than you. He went down. Sure, he crashed and broke his leg, but that doesn't matter. He went down and did it. Now, the coach didn't do that. It was her choice. And the understanding of the reality is we need to understand that it's the ability and the authority of the person asking you to believe. The coach says, not believe in going. The coach says, believe in the information. That's the first thing. The second thing that we deal with is the confidence and security that I can believe in you. And we'll look at that today too. The confidence and the security that I can believe in you. Can I believe in you? Can I trust you? You know, part of the mission here at Rush Creek is developing authentic relationships. What's the core element of an authentic, real relationship? It's trust, isn't it? Isn't that the core element? And you can't trust if you don't have a relationship. And so the idea is, can I trust you that that's going to happen? It's relied on the ability and the strength, but then it comes into trust. And then the third thing, and I doubt if we'll get to that today, the third thing is that the need becomes overwhelming. The need becomes overwhelming. There is such a deep need inside me. There is such a drive inside me that it becomes overwhelming and I can't do anything else but go. Now, we'll talk about in weeks to come where that comes from, but that's a critical component to believe. The need becomes overwhelming. We have about 35 to 40 of our youth leaders, both in the youth group as well as adult leaders that are on a leadership retreat right now. So they're not here with us this morning. You might think of them in prayer because it's an awesome integration of adults and youth coming together as leaders. And I had the privilege yesterday afternoon of sharing and talking with them a little bit about this. And I was telling them that one of the ideas is what draws you into doing what you do. And I love the fact that there is an awesome quote. And I use this quote with them. The quote is this: knowing who we are in Christ allows Christ to be who we are. Can you say that with me, Rush? Knowing who we are in Christ allows Christ to be who we are. Now, you could change that and put your name in there. Knowing who I am in Christ allows Christ in me, and that relationship is developed. So that's an understanding. That's an idea of trying to work through that. Now, here's something else we looked at. This is a quote that when Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John is very clear here. We talk about, number one, the authority. The authority that exists and the authority that has a relationship is clear. That authority comes from Jesus Christ, who is declared to be the Son of God. You see, we looked at the fact that all the other three Gospels, they talk about what Jesus did, where Jesus went, who he talked to. John simply tells us this is who Jesus is. Not what he did as much, not where he went as much, but this is who he is. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To the Jewish reader of that day, that word comes from the Greek logos. They would look at that as being synonymous and the same as God himself. That's how they saw. We look at it and just say, oh, it's the Word. No, they looked at it and said, that's God. That's who Christ is. He is deity. He has the authority. And in that authority, he has the right to say, no one comes to the Father but by me. And the relationship of that authority is significant. And so we find truth in Scripture. Andy Stanley said this, that the central preaching of the early church was not something is true. He said, but the Gospels were clear about one thing. We believe something happened. That's the authority and the power of Christ. Something happened. God became man in human flesh and dwelt among us. He died on the cross. He rose again. We believe that something happened. It goes beyond just truth. It is truth lived out. We believe that something happened. That's a significant part of that. That's the relationship of authority and understanding the truth and the reality of where things are at. So what about the second area? The second area is the confidence and security. The confidence and security. Now, in this confidence and security, it's interesting that we look at this particular passage in John chapter 15. If you want to turn there, go there if you will. In John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we find Jesus talking and giving an image. He's giving a picture, a metaphor. This is how we have confidence and security. We understand and we're accepting the fact that the authority and the power for Jesus Christ is He is God. It's a constant theme through the book of John. The book of John is the only book that talks about the great I am statements that we looked at the first week of our study. Deity is clearly part of who John is. There's confidence and security. So look at John chapter 15 and look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that withers. Maybe some of you might remember, we sang some hymns earlier this morning. Maybe you might remember this particular hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Does that sound familiar to some of you? It goes on and says, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The truth of that, second phrase, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock. You see, I believe that's the picture that John is trying to create with the term believe. When Jesus says, remains in me, he's talking about being invested. We are invested, we are in him. Now I have some images for you. Those are campers on a cliff, 4,000 feet up. I would say that's an example of your anchor holds. Would you agree with me? Now, I don't know about you. I actually thought of that. I thought, would I ever do that? And I would honestly consider it, but I'm not sure. But there's an idea. My anchor holds, and it's rocked in, and that's an example of this is what John is talking about, I believe. Here's another one. Couple on their honeymoon. No lie, honeymoon. Not going to happen to me, but honeymoon. And 4,000 feet up in the air. I don't get it. Do not understand it. But what I do know, they're anchored. And they're solid. And they did something. And they went out and they put faith into something that they had absolute confidence in. And their life is literally hanging on it. What about this? This is interesting. This is called paragliding ballet. I definitely would never do that. That's insane. But that's being anchored. That's believing. That's doing something based upon confidence and security, knowing whom I believe in. That's what that is. Now, my most favorite one of all is this one. Picnic off the cliff. Now, if I were thinking a picnic off the cliff, it would be like a table with a cliff about 30 feet away that you could walk over and look down and get back. No, no, no. This is a picnic table hanging from a cliff 3,000 feet above the ground, and they're having lunch. Having a lot more than lunch, but they're having lunch, okay? And by the way, go back to this other picture. I'm pretty sure she's reading the Bible. Okay, I'm quite confident. Hopefully she's not reading Philippians chapter 1. For me to die is gain, because that's probably as close as she'll ever get. But I tried to zoom in. What was she reading? I don't know. But that's the reality. Picnic off the rock. That's trust. That's faith. That's believing. That's stupidity. But the last part, that's nothing to do with the Christian faith. That's just the reality of those people, okay? But it is true. Anchored. I'm anchored into the rock. That's what John is talking about in the word believe. I anchor into Christ. I secure the ropes. I secure my lifestyle. You see, we don't talk about that enough. We really don't. We are so concerned about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that it is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. We are so concerned, rightfully so, that nobody walks out of this room getting the message that you have to do something to earn your salvation. No, you do not. When Jesus says, believe in me, abide in me, it is the reality and the truthfulness of my investment, because I trust him and I'm willing to invest my life into him. It's the truth that I secure the ropes. It's the reality of the results of where I'm at. And in that truthfulness, I love this quote by Tim Keller. And if you'll follow along with me with that, it's a great quote in the idea of reading and looking at the abundant life. Faith is transferring your trust from your own efforts to the efforts of Christ. Transferring. This is what John is talking about in the idea of believing. I am transferring my trust. I am anchoring into that cliff. I am actually going out and taking a leap of faith. I'm standing at the mountain saying, going. I'm transferring that trust to the efforts and trust of Christ. He goes on, he says, you were relying on other things to make you acceptable. But now you consciously begin relying on what Jesus did for your acceptance with God. All you need is nothing. All you need is nothing. If you think God owes me something for all my efforts, you are still on the outside. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You need nothing. Let us not be confusing about salvation. When the book of John is talking about the word believe, and it is a verb, and it is a verb to rely into or place my trust or into the arms of Christ, it is fully and totally immersed into Christ himself. As a result of that immersion, as a result of me being able to live this truth, to begin to exercise this truth, to begin to work out my salvation, the light then comes upon me. And the light upon me allows me to see and to visually know where I'm going. You do nothing to earn that. You did nothing to qualify for that. We are sinners. This is a broken world. We are broken people, shattered. We do nothing to earn, deserve, merit that salvation. But the reality of transferring trust is a significant step of belief. I invest, trust, I move based on the authority and the power of the one giving it, my confidence and security in knowing that when I anchor into Christ, he will hold me 4,000 feet above whatever it is, he will hold me. He will never let me go. It's that solid assurance and the reality of where things are at in that. Now, in our study, in this truth, we've realized and understood something significant. And in that truth and in that reality is something we find even more powerful. Go to John chapter 1, if you will. In John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, I wanted to pause here for a moment. When John is talking, remember, John is writing roughly 30-some-odd years after the last gospel writer dies. John's writing about 95, 98 AD. He's writing with a 30-year perspective on the overworking of the church. When he writes, he came to that which was his own. He's talking about the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ said, I came not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came to fulfill the law. I came to Israel. I came to empower you, to commission you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is that through the nation of Israel, righteousness can come because I am the Messiah. That's what you preach. And they did not do that. John saw that. That's why he says his own did not receive him. John stepped back 30 years later, and he sees that. He sees the fact that God says, okay, Israel, I'm setting you aside. He's read the literature from the Apostle Paul. He knows that when Paul says Israel is set aside because they failed in their responsibility, John knows that this new body of Christ that Paul is talking about is ushered into the scene. I believe John had a significantly better grasp of understanding the church, the body of Christ, truth than anyone else in the New Testament other than Paul. One reason, look at the next phrase. He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. Israel. Israel rejected him. He saw that. He understood that. But look at the next phrase. Yet to who? All. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John understood that this message, this believe in Christ, transcended now Israel, transcended a kingdom message, transcended everything and elevated it to a different stature. All who believe can be children of God. Everyone. 30 years before, Paul was the one that wrote, neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond or free, all are made one. Paul's the one that said, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no slave. Paul's the one that said, everyone has the opportunity. John sees that and steps back and says, here's the idea of believe. I'm going to invest, I'm going to put my faith into Christ and all that believe in him. The results of that become the children of God. Now I have a quote for you. I want you to listen carefully. It's by C.S. Lewis. And the quote by C.S. Lewis says this: the church exists for no other reason but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. God became man for no other reason than that. C.S. Lewis. I am fascinated by that terminology. To draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. See, because when I read John chapter 1, and I reread that passage, and I look at that, and I read the idea of giving the right to become the children of God, that changes how I see children of God. Children of God kind of puts me in a place of, I'm a child. Now, in many ways in the Christian life, we're identified as children. God has to discipline. God has to correct. That's true. But it gives us kind of the subservient idea. And in all reality, there's something even greater than that. Not only are we the children of God, but we are joint heirs with Christ. And as joint heirs with Christ, we have God's Spirit and my Spirit combined to declare we are the children of God, Romans chapter 8. And here's this idea. It fleshes out even more so that if I am the little Christ, and that's the goal of the church, then the end game of the word believe, putting into action, doing, is to create little Christs. The mission of this church should be to draw men into Christ and then create little Christs through the Word of God. Now, last week we talked about the book of John giving us this 3D image of Christ. And if you weren't here, we kind of showed some ultrasound pictures, which are much more graphic today than they ever have been, of unborn children. And that's what John is giving to us, this fleshed out image of Christ. And then it's a transition to our image. We reflect Christ. Believe is to understand the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to ask, our confidence and security that he will do what he says. We're anchored into that solid rock. And then we show and demonstrate that power through us because we are little Christ. Keep your finger in John 1. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm really hopeful And I'm pretty confident this is ambitious. But I'm hopeful that you will recognize this passage and you'll say, oh yeah, Pastor John, you've talked about this before. I'm really hopeful it'll trigger your mind. Because to me, this is so critical. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 2, and in the truth and the reality, he says this, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. How have you heard me describe this? If you've been in Rush Creek for any period of time, you will know that I will tell you we are the book of Christ. We are the only, what? Who? Christ the world sees. We are the little Christs. And Paul goes on and he says, you show that you are that book. How? Written on our hearts, you show that you're a letter from Christ. You show you're that book. How? The results written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Our heart is a tablet that the Holy Spirit writes on. John tells us that the idea of believe is I'm willing to trust and hold Christ and be in Christ. And in that belief, I'm willing to do action. I'm willing to live out. Because the end game today in this church, the body of Christ age, we are the only Christ the world sees today. Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. In his deity. We also know that Paul tells us it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Peter says, be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you what? That hope that is in you. Hope, Christ, in me, I show. That's believe. I am believing because I am showing I am the only Christ the world sees today. How does that thinking shape your thought process? How does that thinking give to you a different dynamic? If I'm looking at relationships and I think that person that I'm the only Christ that person sees, if I'm at work and I'm doing my job and I think that fellow employee that I am the only Christ that person sees, if I'm at school, if I'm with my parents, if I'm with my children and I'm driving home in the car and I'm saying and doing things and in my mind I'm realizing all of a sudden I am the only Christ my 9-year-old son sees and knows. How does that change our thinking? How does that change our structure? How does that change the word believe? It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Doesn't it create into us a different mindset? Faith transfers trust. Places trust into Christ, who then places in us the responsibility to live out who he is. John understood that. He got the idea of belief. And in the truth of that understanding, that the reality and the goal of the church is to draw men into Christ, how do we draw people into this church? The board had a retreat a couple weeks ago, talked about that very same thing. What's the vision for Rush Creek? Where do we see ourselves in 2020? What does it look like in 5 years? We have a great group in here. Great worship. Great community. One of the constant comments that visitors will say is, I really appreciate the friendliness of the people in your church. They were real. The only time they talked to me is when you had name tag Sunday and you made them. They did it anyway. I love that. But. How do we draw men into Christ? Do we sit in here and say, come into our building, that's where you'll find Christ? Is that what Paul is saying? No, he's not. Believe is, I am willing to become the child of God. I'm willing to reflect. I'm willing to show. I'm going to do. I'm standing at the top of the mountain, and I just simply say, go. That's believe. Believe is action. If we're going to say to our community, if you're going to say to your community that you live in, your neighbors, your work, your friends, your family, your school, whatever it might be, if you're going to say, I'm the little Christ, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? How am I showing Christ? See, sometimes I think it's easy in the Christian life to disconnect ourselves from that. We disconnect ourselves from Christ and we get focused on behavior. And we say the behavior tells people if I'm a Christian. The behavior shows people I'm a loving person. The behavior describes my character. Now, while there's some truth to that, we have to change our thinking and we have to invest into that word believe and say, no, it is not my behavior, it is my Christ. It's not my behavior, it's my Christ in me. Now, how do I know that truth? And then that truth gives me the light. And then the light gives me the power. That's the sequence. It's my Christ in me, the hope of glory. I wonder this morning if you know that. Is he truly your Christ? As our praise team leads us in a closing song, some of the words of this song go like this. Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world, listen to this, you're going to be singing this, and the world will see, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. My question to you, Rush Creek family, how is the world going to see that? How will they see that in you, the only Christ, the little Christ that leaves this auditorium? How will the world see you? Our God saves is not an external comment. It's a relative comment to me personally. My God saved me. There is hope. There's hope for you. Maybe you're here this morning and that's something that you don't really know much about, hope. Maybe there's circumstances in your life. Maybe there's circumstances in other people's lives that you love. And it's just weighing on you. And you don't have an anchor. You're not on the side of the cliff. As a matter of fact, you may be on the side of the cliff and your ropes are breaking. We have prayer partners that are up here at front. They will pray with you. And maybe there is someone here this morning that you're listening to all this and you really don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. You came in, first time here, you're not a Christian, you're an unbeliever. You know what? That's okay. That's totally okay. Because somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit just challenged you with something in your life that you know, I need something to happen. Not just the truth. Not just theology from the Bible. I need something to happen. And what that something was is a person of Jesus Christ who became flesh, dwelt among us, believed in us enough that he did and died on the cross, rose again, and says, believe on me. I'm the only way. There is nothing else. If that's you this morning, we invite you right where you're at as you hear the words. To acknowledge, you know what? I'm lost. I'm on that cliff, and I have no ropes, and I'm falling. And I need an anchor, and I need to believe and pound my life into that anchor. If you want prayer, we'll pray with you. You sing this song, let's stand together. And as you sing this song, and you sing that phrase, our God saves, don't sing it as external. Sing it through yourself. When you say the world will see, ask yourself, what will they see from me this week that shows them Christ, the hope of glory?